The scripture reading this morning is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it.
Thank you, family. Did not know the namesake was going to sing until midweek. He said, "Got a surprise for you." I said, "What?" Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10:13. The King James Version states, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful," amen?
Amen.
"Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will make a way of escape, that ye will be able to bear it." In the TEV version, which is the modern Good News Bible, it says, "Every test that you have experienced is the kind that is normally comes to people. But God keeps his promise. He will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. At the time you are put to the test, he will give you strength to endure it and so provide you a way out." Today, my brothers and sisters, our message comes from the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's go with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I think it's Joshua, Judges, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, and 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. You never forget all those books of the Bible from Adventurers Club. You never forget them. Once you found it, please say amen.
Amen.
It says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, an honorable man, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper." Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Dear God, you know our every thought, mindset, emotions, our strengths, capabilities, and our weaknesses. You know what we are able to endure and what circumstances we are unable to bear. Today we ask you to give us the victory. Give us the victory over our trials, our tests, temptation, and our fears. Despite what we see, feel, or even think, please give us the victory based upon the promises written and given in your word. Therefore, during this divine worship hour, please open up a direct, uninterrupted channel of communication between you, our God, me, your servant, and we, your people. Please do not allow the devil to occupy any mental mind space where your word will be blocked or not believed. Please place a hedge around us in this sanctuary so that your word will not return to you void. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. He was honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man in valor, In our modern digital society, the word valor is rarely heard, spoken, or even used in the description of the 21st century man. But the Bible describes this man of valor as courageous and unique. Valor is a noun defined as a person who is great in the face of danger, especially in mortal combat. In other words, Naaman was full of bravery, courage, nerve, and audacity, boldness, and stout-heartedness. Heroism this exuded from his veins, backbone, and enthusiastic spirit. He was full of life and energy. But he was a leper. He wasn't perfect, even though he had strength, honor, and virtues of perfection. He was a leper. Even though he was full of courage and mental toughness and bold audacity, he was a leper. Even though he had the intestinal fortitude and strength of steel of a valiant warrior, he was a leper. The Bible never states how Naaman obtained leprosy. However, many times in biblical stories, the presence of leprosy is viewed as God's condemnation, a judgment of some unknown sin, either through heredity or from a personal struggle and battle that has been lost. The leper was banished to the Netherlands and margins of society, to be an outcast, to pronounce to the world unclean, unclean, for all to hear and to see. However, in this case, Naaman was in full plain sight. It was held secret. I'm pretty sure with his armor, his helmet, and all of the equipment that the soldier of that day carried and wore, he was able to conceal it. No one knew, but he knew. No one knew, but his wife knew. No one knew, but the inner sanctums of his home. They knew his secret. For we all have hidden sin. Amen, walls. Amen. We all have hidden sin. There seems to always be a but. A group of Washington, D.C. presidential historians was commissioned recently with the task of ranking the top 10 presidents of the United States of all time. The list included George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, who many credited to be the architect of the Declaration of Independence, along with Benjamin Franklin, Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Harry Truman, John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan. And on the margins of that list was a man named William Jefferson Clinton. The one senior historian said he was a shoo-in to be in my top five, but there was an issue about a little blue dress. There's always a but. Malcolm Jamal Warner, the young man who played Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show, was recently interviewed by the Associated Press. You can read this interview online. It was released yesterday by CNN. The contents of that interview was posted. He was asked about his mentor, his friend, Mr. Bill Cosby. And he said that recently, Mr. Cosby and I have had numerous personal discussions of the revelations and accusations that have been made against him. He said, I will keep those comments in the strictness of confidence. But he stated that my biggest concern is when it comes to the image of people of color on television and film, no matter what negative stereotypes of people of color, we always had the Cosby Show to hold up against that. Warner told the Associated Press in an interview this week that fact we no longer have that saddens me the most, because in a few short generations, we will be just a fairy tale. There's always a but. He said, the Cosby Show legacy has been tarnished. No matter all the good you may do or have provided, one act or series of unseen acts of indiscretion can ruin one's name. Primarily because of God's divine judgment and providential wisdom, God used not a Jewish man, not an Israelite, but he used a foreign warrior who had characteristics of value and virtue that would inherit that any man should possess. Let's provide some context. Ben-Hadad was the king of Syria, and they were at war with Israel. And the king of Israel was a man named Ahab. Do you remember who he was? Ahab was married to the wicked queen Jezebel. You see, they were at war. And not too long ago, there was another prophet named Elijah who had this unique experience on Mount Carmel, where fire fell down from heaven from the authority of God, and he destroyed nearly 500 Baal priests. Consequently, after Elijah's translation, during future border raids of Syria into Israel, a little maid, unknown, unnamed, was held captive and taken captive by the Syrian army. This little maid came to work into the household of Naaman. And because of this little maid and her witness and the character of this young lady, she bore witness to the chief general, the captain of the host of the Syrian army. Let me read something to you. This is taken from Prophets and Kings, page 245. It says, happy are the parents whose lives are a true reflection of the divine, so that the promises and the commands of God awaken in the child gratitude and reverence. The parents whose tenderness and justice and long-suffering interpreted to the child the love and justice of the long-suffering God, and who by teaching the child to love and trust and obey them, are teaching him to love and trust and obey his Father in heaven. Parents who impart to the child such a gift have endowed him with a treasure more precious than the wealth of all ages, a treasure of enduring as eternity. We know not in what line our children may be called to serve. They may spend their lives within the circles of the home. They may engage in life's common vocations, or go into the teachings, go as into the world as teachers of the gospel to heathen lands. But all are alike called to be missionaries for God, missionaries of mercies to the world. They are to obtain an education that will help them to stand by the side of Christ in unselfish service. The parents of the Hebrew maid, as they taught her of God, did not know the destiny that would be hers, but they were faithful to their trust, and in the home of the captain of the Syrian host, their child bore witness to God, whom he had learned to honor, whom she had learned to honor. You see, Naaman heard the words and the prayers of this little maiden. Naaman heard the words and the witness of this little maiden. Naaman, who is a heathen man, was a man of honor and valued trust, valued integrity, valued responsibility, and valued her commitment despite being a slave. And that really is a testament to how we should be despite our circumstances. We may have a job we don't like. We may be in circumstances that we just can't stand. But we're still charged to be faithful. We're still charged to have integrity and to have a character that somehow just illuminates and exhumes and rises to the top like cream. With the permission of this king of Syria, Ben-Hadad sent Naaman to Israel for healing. When the king heard of this, the king of Israel now, guess what he did? He tore his clothes. He said, I'm not a healer. I am not a person who has the power to heal anyone. But he tore his clothes because of fear. You got to remember, the conquering king is coming to the defeated king for healing of his captain of his army. That's like we're losing a battle and the foreign emissary says, you know what, but you have medical services in your country that we don't have. And I need you to heal this man. The king tore his clothes and Elijah heard of this. Despite the king's fear, Elisha requested that Naaman be sent to him. When Naaman arrived at Elijah's dwelling, he did not go out to meet him, for he already knew what the issue was. Elisha sent word to the captain of the Syrian host that there is a solution. Because you see, the little maiden said to Naaman, I know of a man. I know of a man who created the heaven and the earth and put all the stars in place. I know of a man who saved the family of Eight from the 40 days in the flood and allowed all of mankind to survive. I know of a man who came down and parted the waters of the Red Sea and brought my people out of bondage. I know of a man. And her witness to Nahum and to the mistress was so pervasive that it was infectious. You ever see somebody describe a story that you feel like you end the story? Man, this, you can't have this person tell the story. You have to have that person tell the story. I'm going to pick on you, Eric. I love to hear Eric tell stories. Because when Eric tells a story, it's like you right there. On the weekend, I'm going to tell this story. Don't get upset with me, you. On the weekend that you got married, all the men, we had breakfast, remember this, at Cracker Barrel. And Eric told a story. It's the Sabbath, so I'm going to keep it. It's a clean story, but it's too long to tell. The story was so funny that the waitresses were laughing. The cook came out the kitchen in East Green Bush. He was laughing. He gave us extra servings of biscuits and everything because they all were laughing. And I try to retell that story. I said, you know what? It makes no good for me to tell it. You got to let Eric tell it. Because everybody was laughing. It was infectious. This little maid's witness was infectious. When someone has something to tell that is so spontaneous and so energetic, you can't help but to listen. You stand up and sit down and pay attention because you're like, oh my gracious, is this so real? She said, after my people came out of the wilderness for 40, crossed the Red Sea, we spent 40 years in the wilderness. This is a little girl now. Through disobedience, but God persevered and saved us. So if the king, if he is telling you to dip in the river seven times, he told us to march around a city seven times. Can I get a witness? And we crossed over this river into conquered a city called Jericho. She bore witness. She bore witness. So Naaman went. Naaman went and heard the words of a servant, not the words of Elijah. Excuse me, heard the words of a servant from Elijah, but not directly the words of Elijah. Let me tell you how insulting that would have been. 2 weeks ago, I forgot, Michael had a day off from school. It was a Wednesday, that's all I ever know. We were eating breakfast. Every news channel was focused on Andrews Airport in Washington, D.C. You thought they were welcoming the King of England, the King of Russia, whatever famous country. It was the Pope. The President was standing on the red carpet at attention. waiting for him to come. Imagine the president sending the Secretary of State or the Secretary of Commerce. I think he could receive him. That'd be all right. What do you think the news would have been then? How dare he do this? What audacity! Elijah did not leave his dwelling, the Bible said, because the word of God is more present than his presence. Do you understand? He wanted Naaman to know that the word of God is what brought our people through. Not any of the messengers, not Moses, not Joshua, but the word of God brought us through. So he was told to dip into the Jordan 7 times. You see, Naaman did not come empty-handed. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. He didn't come empty-handed. Verse 5 says, "And the king of Syria said, 'Go to go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel,' and departed. He took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment." I started doing some research. Do you know how much a talent is? I want you to check this out. A talent, 1 talent, is worth 9 years of an average man's salary. I want you to understand this. 1 talent is worth 9 years of an average man's salary. He took 10. Are you hearing me? If you go to currencyrate.com and bankrate.com and do the conversion tables, 9 talents on the average American salary of $40,000 a year is $360,000 worth of silver he took in a bag. What type of witness did this young girl have? He took 6,000 pieces of what? Of gold. Yesterday when the market closed, an ounce of gold was $1,138. A piece of gold back in the day weighed about 1 pound. So if we do the math, 1 pound of gold is roughly about $18,000 and some change. If you do the math on 6,000 pieces of gold, you're talking about $109,248,000 on a caravan of men to Elijah's house. He was about to pay for his cure. You heard the phrase, "Put your money where your mouth is"? He was like, "Okay, I need to be healed, and I need to be healed now." He's about to put it down. He took 10 raiments of clothes. I'm pretty sure they were the finest of materials. Okay? The finest of materials. In our day, man, it would probably be what? I don't know. Nino Cerruti, Christian Dior, I mean, just the high-end bread. Them linens that you just feel like butter. You just, ooh, man, you're just like, I got to go to sleep in this suit. He took the 10 best. So in total, he had over $109,608,000 worth of currency with him. However, pride would not allow him to go to the Jordan. He said, "What is this?" He said, "Aren't there cleaner rivers in Syria for me to dip into?" See, the issue is not dipping. The issue is obedience. His servant had to put him in check and say, "Wait a minute. If he told you to climb a wall or climb a mountain and to destroy a town, you would do it with no question. But he tell you to dip into a river." But let me give you some context of this. I did some research on this too this week. The Jordan River, out of all the medieval rivers back in the day, was the dirtiest and the filthiest and the nastiest. Okay? It probably had vermin and all bunch of crustaceans that you would not want to imagine. And I'm going to tell you one thing, snakes can swim. Okay? They probably had crocodiles and alligators. My man had to go over there into that river and dip. Not with a sword in hand and shield, but dip. Not but once, but seven times. Remember back in the day, they had no binoculars or anything to cover your face so you can see. He had to go dip. Nevertheless, he did it. He did it. Urged on by the convictions of a little maiden, words of truth resonated through his mind. He heard about the God of Israel healing people from back in the day. He says, if I can just believe, maybe I can be healed myself. So he went forth. I want you to understand this. What happened? Let's move forward. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the sayings of the man of God. And his flesh became again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and what? All his company. He said, oh my grace, I'm clear. I got to take all, he deserved this money. Let me take it all to him. He came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know. What did he say? I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, that the Lord liveth before whom I stand. What Elijah said? I will receive none. Do you know what type of temptation that is? He can say, well, I can give it to the church. I can donate this. We could rebuild the temple. The Lord said, no, none. And I want you to realize this, that grace, God's grace is free of charge. You don't have to pay for it. Man, that sounds weak. God's grace is free of charge. You don't have to pay for it. His forgiveness is open to you anytime, any day of the week. All you have to do is believe and be obedient. He said in verse 16, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none, and urge him to take it, but he refused. Verse 17, and Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules burdens of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. This is his testimony. He said, from this day forward, I will never offer any burnt offerings or sacrifice to anybody else. Do you understand that? You've proven to me, which was never, I never could imagine. Let's think about this. Do you think he did not go to the doctors in Syria before he came to Israel? Did you think he prayed before the priests of Baal and bowed down and did all these sacrifices unto them? Didn't you think he tried everything? Mm-hmm. Imagine how much money he offered them and wasn't healed. I imagine what happened to him. Those priests might have been killed again. He said, give me back my money. You guys didn't do anything for me. But he held out and held on. I would love to tell you that the story ends here, but it doesn't. It doesn't. You see, when you go through your trials and tribulations, there's always people watching. There's always people on the peripheral, on the edges of society. Your friends, your family, they're looking at you. Is he going to cave? Is he going to fold? Is he going to persevere? Is he going to endure? Is he going to hold out or hold on? There's always people watching. The slight dent or imperfection of character, the slight comment or the wrong word can bear a false witness. Gehazi Elijah's servant, who he has walked with Elijah for many years, was witnessing all this. And he saw all that money just walk away. The Bible said this man waited and he took off after him. Whew. Hold up. Hold up. Wait a minute. Unlike Elisha at the beginning, Naaman himself stopped his caravan and stepped down off his chariot and approached the man. And here's the first lie. Verse 22. Gehazi said, "All is well. My master has sent me saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent, 9 years' worth of wages, and two change of garments." Naaman said, "Be content. Take two. Take two wages of 9 years. Take two. And then two changes of garment, and laid them upon his servants, and they bare them before him." Verse 24 says, "And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house." So he snuck back to the house quickly. If someone gave you some money in midnight hour, would you hang around at the grocery store and say, "Whoa, man, let me go to Walmart. Let me see what I can buy." Man, he rushed to the house. He said, "Forget that. I'll go to the grocery store tomorrow." He rushed to the house. He stuffed it underneath the mattress. He did something. He hid it. You know you would have done the same thing. I see people looking at me. You know you would have rushed back to the house. You'd have rushed back to the house. But when he went in, who was at the door? Elisha was at the door. He stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" Let me take you back. Doesn't that question sound familiar? Sister Linda is nodding her head. That question sounds familiar. Back in the day, from this day, a question was asked, "Whence comest thou?" God himself asked our parents, "Where do you come from? What have you been doing?" He asked Adam and Eve that question. Doesn't it sound familiar? "Whence comest thou?" You see, a good attorney knows the answer before you even ask it in the first place. And Elijah had his investigator already on the scene, which is the Holy Spirit. Came revealed to him exactly what had transpired and taken place. If this was Perry Mason, it would be Paul Drake. Paul Drake was already there. Just showed up at the house and told him what this guy had already done. Okay? He already informed on him. He said unto him, "Thy servant went no whither." The second lie. And he said unto him, "Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee?" Uh-oh. "Is it a time to receive money?" Uh-oh. "And to receive garments?" Oh, no. "And of olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants?" "The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Prophets and Kings said that he was a leper until the day he died. Nothing he could do. This is a warning for all of us who are Christian, who are raised in the Word, who are raised up in the Word. God forgives us of all of our sins and iniquities. Thank God for grace. He doesn't turn anyone away. But if you're walking with the Lord, he admonishes us to stay home. We may bend, we may struggle, we may have faults, we may falter, but he's always there. Always there. God's grace is effervescent. But he does not want us to be a deceiver and not only bear false witness, but I'm pretty sure Elisha had other service, the Bible said. And other service was witnessing what was taking place. You see, we all are leopards. We all are leopards. Just like Naaman, we keep it in the closet. Nobody knew he had leprosy except for his family. Nobody. We may have a leprosy of addictions, alcoholism, pornography, tobacco, a lying tongue or demonic spirit. We may have leprosy of confusion, of a pervasive nature. We may have a leprosy of dysfunctional families, fathers against daughters and mothers against sons. We may have leprosy of physical abuse or emotional abuse, verbal abuse between husband and wife. We may have leprosy of falsification. There's all different types of leprosy. And most of them are hidden. You don't know what type of leprosy your neighbor has because they come to church or go to work and it looks all fine and dandy, but everybody is suffering a leprosy. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Please go there. Isaiah chapter 50. Verse 10 says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, and walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." What does this mean? Stay the course. Stay the course. Don't deviate. You may falter or fall. You may hit your head upside the wall 1,000 times. Stay the course. Don't go to a voodoo doctor or a witch doctor. Let me tell you a story. I know this is true because I have some uncles in my family. Rest in peace. One of my uncles asked my father to go to the doctor with him. My uncle did not really want to go. So my father was like, "You got to go to the doctor." And my uncle was like, "Well, I really don't want to go, but if you go to my doctor, I'll go with you." So my father said, "Okay, I'll go to the doctor with you." They went to a doctor that wasn't at a hospital. They went to a doctor that wasn't in a doctor's office or a complex. This was in South Carolina behind an old dirt road in an old beat-up shack. This was a doctor. I never forget, my father was telling me this story right in front of my uncle. I had both of them standing right there. And if you knew my uncles, they're bombastic, man. They're loud. They'll tell you off in a minute, but they were quiet on this moment. I mean, you couldn't hear a word coming out of their mouth. My father said, "Yeah, your uncle standing right here begged me to go to the doctor with them." And my father said, "Yeah, I wanted him to get some help. He needed some help." He went to the doctor. They walked into the house, and it was one of these witch doctors. When my father hit the top stairway step, the lady kicked the door open and said, "You cannot come into this house, for you have a righteous spirit with you, and you cannot contend in this house." My father looked at my uncle, "You should not go in this house. For if they would not allow me in the house, you shouldn't go into the house." He said, "But I need help." He said, "Yes, you do. But it's not here." Amen. We all have leprosy. But we go places that do not have solutions for us. Mm-hmm. We try things out that don't have solutions for us. I'm glad that the young man that Rachel talked about is alive. He tried something that was not his solution. God has a better purpose for his life. Amen. His life is not his own to take away or to preserve or to snatch or to change. His life is to live the destiny that God has given him, and he's given us a destiny too. Mm-hmm. We have to be humble enough to seek it through prayer and supplication. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, my uncle went into this house, and my father sat in the car. Here we go. I can't tell the story like my father can. My pop said there was so much rumbling and shaking in the house. The windows were shaking and the door was rattling and the window broke and all this other stuff. And the lady said, "There's a force outside that won't let me be. I can't do what I normally do." So he got up and walked out the house. What I'm trying to tell you, when something is gripping you and gripping your family, you got to take it to Jesus. Amen. He may ask you to do something that you don't want to do. Go a place that you don't want to go. Be in an environment that you dare not go into. Do you think Naaman wanted to go to the Jordan? Do you think he wanted to go to the most filthiest, dirtiest, it might have been rat infested river or creek in that part of the world? Do you think he wanted to go in there? No. But he did what he was told by faith. He did what he was told because of a witness of a little maid. He did what he was told not because of something inside of him, but because what he had saw inside of her. We need to grasp a hold to the word of God and hold on and don't let it go. Our last text of scripture today, as I close out, it's taken from Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. And this is a combination of a couple verses, but I like the way Ellen White puts this, so I'm going to read it from her version. This is taken from Prophets and Kings. I keep on saying it wrong. Prophets and Kings, page 253. "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, have mercy, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for them that what? Waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways." We got to wait, hold out, and hold on. The race is not to the swift or the strong, but the race and the crown is given to those who endure to the end for eternal life. May God bless you. Amen. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, I pray as we lepers here in this sinful world humbly come before you, that we dip ourselves in your word each day of the week, so that we can be bound and be secure in our soul's salvation and faith in thee. I ask you, dear God, Jesus, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Allow us to bear witness to your truth and to be your servants, to be your beacons of light, of hope, in our families, on our jobs, even unto ourselves, upon what you can do and would do for those who wait upon you. We ask you, dear God Jesus, to please remember all of our missing church members and those who may be listening on the internet and the sound of my voice. I pray that you will receive them and allow them to know that they are loved, that they are taken care of, and that you have the everlasting power to heal and to change any circumstances. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.